Friends, my name is Kevin Keehan.
The Bible is indeed the Word of God. We understand that God has demonstrated a love for man that is second to none. In fact, we have explained for us God's love for man and the fact that He has created mankind after His image. But also we understand concerning the love of God that God has always sought to provide for man for all of the essential things that we need to sustain life here upon the face of the earth. But good people, also that greatest need that we have is indeed the forgiveness of our sin. And the Bible tells us that God has supplied for that need through giving His only begotten Son. In fact, in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." We have a statement concerning God's love for us, but we not only have a statement about God's love for us, we have a demonstration of that love. As what the Apostle Paul wrote to the saints at Rome in Romans chapter 5 verses 7 and 8, he says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But our God, He commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." Well, we understand concerning God's love for us because we have His love identified for us constantly in and throughout the New Testament Scripture. We need to understand that God has indeed sought to communicate His will and His message to mankind. And in this, as New Testament Christians then, we have indeed a privilege and a responsibility to preach and to teach God's will to all of humanity. In all of this, we understand that we can preach and teach. We can make certain that we are doing all that we can to educate mankind concerning God's will in a private setting. To set across the table, if you would, from individuals who do not know Christ or who do not know the truth, and to communicate God's message in a personal one-on-one Bible study or maybe even in group studies. But also we understand, well, that we can do this publicly, and we need to be doing this publicly, especially upon the first day of the week. Whenever we stand and we proclaim God's message in a class or in a sermon format, as what we are doing this morning, we are indeed responsible, and indeed it is a privilege to be able to communicate God's message and His will to mankind. We need to understand today that whenever we have an obligation and a responsibility, as well as a privilege to communicate God's message, that we are given the greatest charge known to mankind. In fact, God has given charges to man in and throughout all of time. Under the patriarchal age, we understand that God had established mankind and created mankind after His image, but yet God looked out during the days of Noah, and what God saw was that every intent and thought of man's heart was evil continually. God, though, looked at Noah, and Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. And because Noah was upright and righteous above all who lived during the course of his generation, God commissioned, God challenged Noah to build an ark. And God commanded Noah during the process of that building of the ark that he was to preach unto the people. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, we understand that Noah had preached to these people, but yet at the same time that the majority of the world turned a deaf ear to hearing the message that Noah had proclaimed. Well, as a result of their rejection, the Bible tells us that 8 souls, Noah, his 3 sons and their wives, were the ones who entered into the ark. God commissioned Noah to preach and to teach concerning the salvation that was only going to be brought forth to those who listened and those who heeded the warnings of God. We'll also understand under the law of Moses that God had established a nation, the Israelite people, and that these people were to be the people of God. They were to listen to the communication of God. In fact, God had communicated His will to them in multiple ways. In fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers through the prophets, God had used the prophets to communicate to the fathers, who in turn then therefore were to communicate the will of God to His people. We learn, though, whenever these children of Israel were in bondage in Exodus chapter 1 and Exodus chapter through Exodus chapter 3, they had great tasks placed upon them. Well, as a result of this, they were crying out to God, and God heard their cry, and God remembered the promise that He had made unto Abraham, that He would lead, that He would protect, that He would provide for His people a place in the promised land. In all of this, then, God commanded Moses to lead His people into freedom. But we understand, as we look in through Exodus chapter 3 through Exodus chapter 12, that Moses heeded the warning, that Moses did indeed go, he and Aaron, and they taught the children of Israel. And as a result of their teaching, the children of Israel was led out of this Egyptian oppression, and they were then led ultimately into the promised land that God had prepared for them. In this, today you and I, as New Testament Christians, we, under the Christian age, have been given a charge. God wants all of mankind to be saved. Good fact, but we understand this as what is taught by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. For the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. God has created man after His image, and man has sinned against God. But yet, good people, that is not God's will that man would sin against Him. But rather, in giving us laws, God wants us to know Him, and God wants us to follow according to His will. However, we understand that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. But also, as a result of that sin, the Apostle Paul taught those at Rome in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, he says, "For the wages of sin is death." Whenever mankind violates the law of God, we sin against God. Well, that sin separates us from God. But yet God tells us that it is not His desire for a man to be separated from us. In fact, God has made a means of salvation in and through Jesus Christ, His Son, and our Savior. In fact, the Apostle Paul taught in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 that we have redemption. We can be bought back through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, God sends you and me. He sends His church out into the lost and dying world with the good news about Jesus Christ. In fact, we understand this commission as was given to the apostles and then ultimately to the first century church, as is depicted in the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus said, "All power, our authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore into all nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, to the end of the age." Also, Jesus taught in the book of Mark chapter 16, in verse 16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned." What is it then that mankind must come to understand in order to have salvation? We understand, as is taught in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 32, He says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth is able to make mankind free from the guilt and the consequences of sin. Well, what is the truth? Jesus said in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through Me." Jesus Christ is indeed the epitome of God's truth to mankind. If we want to know the truth about salvation, we need to turn to Jesus. Well, where do we find concerning Jesus? Jesus Himself taught in the book of John chapter 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy word is truth." God's word is the truth. God's word is the truth concerning His will for mankind. God's Word is the absolute truth that identifies God for us. God's Word is the absolute truth that spells out everything that we need to know concerning Jesus Christ, as well as everything that we need to know pertaining to the church, as well as to life here upon the face of the earth. Today, as New Testament Christians, we are the pillar and the ground of the truth. The Bible is indeed God's Word. It is God's communicated message to mankind. It is complete. It is inerrant. It is completely accurate. Unless you and I stand and proclaim it, unless you and I handle it aright, unless you and I reach out with it, God's Word will have no bearing. It will do no good to those individuals who are lost here in the world. The Bible tells us that indeed we are the pillar and the ground of the truth. But also God reveals to us that we are the vessel for the declaration or for the deliverance of His truth. He says, this treasure we have in earthen vessels. What is the treasure? Treasure is indeed the message that is found in the Bible. And it's only hidden to those, for those who do not, who have not seen it. And the only way in which they're going to see it is if you and I live it, and as well as if you and I communicate it to them on a never-ending, each and every day basis. But we need to understand that not only have we been given the greatest charge by God, we have also been given the greatest message to preach and to teach the Word. In this, we need to understand that the message that we preach and teach must be rooted and grounded in Scripture. Worship is not about entertainment. It's not about having big bands to stand and to play music to entertain us. It's not about standing and performing skits and things of that nature. It's not about just getting up and telling cute stories for the sake of telling stories. Is there a time and place for illustrations? Most certainly there is. In fact, I believe that a preacher and a teacher must illustrate from time to time. They must tell stories in order for them to be able to help the congregation make the sense, that is, to help them with the understanding, but yet at the same time, simply standing and telling jokes and stories for the sake of getting people's attention and drawing the attention to yourself, there is no place in Scripture for that. In fact, Peter taught in 2 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 that those who speak, that they must speak as the oracles of God. What does that mean? It means that everything that they teach, that it must be in compliance to, it must be in line with the Word of God. But also we understand is that we have a broad spectrum of which we must cover as preachers and teachers of the gospel. In fact, in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, we are to teach the whole counsel of God. We must be balanced in preaching and teaching. Why? Because we are to teach the whole counsel of God. In this, I contend that we can preach and teach for years and never really cover the same subject matter over and over again. Are there ever needful lessons that we must repeat? Absolutely, and we will continue to do those concerning the church and concerning morality and things of that nature. But yet at the same time, we need to understand that as we preach and teach the Word of God, that we must focus upon the Word of God. Why? Because our worship must be pleasing and acceptable to God. Why do we assemble ourselves together? Well, we certainly assemble ourselves together so that we might be edified. In this, I mean that we might learn from the Word of God, and in learning from the Word of God, then that we might take and apply these things to our everyday walk of life and be able to go out and to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be motivated about serving God each and every day of our life. But first and foremost, why are we here? We are here to worship and to praise God. And the only way in which we're going to be able to accomplish this is when we worship God according to Spirit and in truth. Well, where do we find that? John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And what do we know concerning what truth is? We've already said it's in the Bible. And for that reason, those who preach and teach must make certain that we have all of our lessons rooted and grounded in the truth. But also, not only is there a responsibility upon the proclaimer, but also upon those listeners. Do you remember in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, where Ezra stood before the people with the letter of the law? And whenever Ezra stood upon the platform, maybe that's the first podium we have, he stood upon the platform and he opened the book of the law before the people. This is God's law. And the Bible tells us that these people stood up. Why did they stand up? They stood up in awe and respect for their Creator, before God. And today, God's people, Christians, must listen intently to the message, to grasp what it is that God is communicating to us as His children. And good people, we must listen to learn. Not to think that we're all know-it-alls, or not to be overcritical concerning what it is that somebody might say. We're all human. We make mistakes from time to time. But rather that we need to listen to learn and to say, what can I take away from this message? And then not only to listen and to learn to the message, but good people, also we need to make certain that we apply this message, God's Word to our everyday walk of life, James chapter 1 and verse 22, be you doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. We need to make certain that we apply the message, that great and glorious message of Christ and the life of New Testament Christianity to our everyday walk of life. But also, as those who preach and teach, let me encourage, don't get discouraged. Don't allow people to tear you down and to beat you up, but rather keep on preaching. Well, in all of this, sometimes preaching and teaching God's Word is not popular. Why? Because it's not politically correct to the world of which we live in. And why? Because sometimes the things that we preach and teach, it steps on the toes of those who are hearing it. We're not a new age in all of that. In fact, we understand it's always been during the days of Timothy. Paul told Timothy, he says, preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season. What does it mean? He says, Timothy, you preach it whenever they want to hear it. Timothy, whenever they are attuned to what it is that you're preaching and teaching. Timothy, whenever they're listening intently and they're saying amen to what it is that you're proclaiming concerning God's message. It says, Timothy, you preach the Word. But he says, Timothy, also whenever they are turning a deaf ear. Timothy, whenever they're not applying the message to their everyday walk of life. He says, Timothy, don't let these things discourage you. But Timothy, you keep on preaching the Word. And understand, Timothy, understand preachers and teachers of the gospel, classroom teachers and all, is that sometimes they will even turn against the messenger. You say, Kevin, how do you know that? Because they did against Jesus Christ our Lord, the greatest teacher and the greatest proclaimer of God's will to mankind. John chapter 5 and verse 8 says that whenever Jesus had taught them concerning His Messiahship, that He is indeed deity, is that they sought even more so to kill Him. We need to make certain, though, that as preachers and teachers of God's message, that we always tell it like it is. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, Peter prayed for boldness, courage, that he would be able to proclaim God's message boldly, to teach it accurately, and to teach it with conviction, truth, clarity, and passion. Whenever he stood before the people, he wanted to make certain that the people understood that indeed that message that he was proclaiming was from God, and that it was indeed the message that was going to bring them an opportunity for salvation. And those who preach and teach today, certainly we need to make certain that whenever we stand up, that we proclaim God's message to make certain that people understand that it is God's will to man and that it is indeed that which they need to know in order to have the forgiveness of their sins, in order to have hope beyond this life of an eternal life in heaven with God. But yet at the same time, you and I also need to heed the warning that the Apostle Paul gave, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. He says, speaking the truth in love. Somebody says, well, what do you mean speaking the truth in love? That means, well, that we need to make certain that we're not cold-hearted in our message or in our proclamation of the gospel. That people see that we are compassionate towards their needs. That people see that we do have a true concern for their soul. And that we're not just braggadocious. We must never come across to such. Don says, that's my word, braggadocious. That we're not prideful in our deliverance of the message, but rather that we're humble. That's what our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was humble in all things during the course of His life here upon the face of the earth, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. He was a humble servant, and certainly we need in our proclamation of the good news to be bold and to be accurate, but at the same time to be gentle and loving, so that we will be able to persuade and to win, to gain the hearts of man to the cause of Christ. We have in the Bible the greatest reasons for proclaiming the message. God's Word, it is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." The Bible is able to identify what sin is. Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 says that the law was given to identify sin and the enormity of sin. Well, also, not only do we understand concerning the Old Testament law that it reveals what sin is, the New Testament also identifies God's will for us, and in doing so, it also condemns and tells us what sin is. How do we understand concerning God's will? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "So then now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." If we want to be pleasing and acceptable to God, we need to understand what sin is, and that sin separates us from God, but yet at the same time, that salvation is in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, and our only Savior, and the only way in which we're able to understand this, an understanding of God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But also we need to understand that God's Word is able to make one wise unto salvation. That's what Paul communicated to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. He says, "You have known the Holy Scriptures from your childhood," and this is paraphrased, "that is able to make one wise unto salvation." Now in the context there, Paul's referring back to the Old Testament Scripture that Timothy had been taught. I understand that. But we also understand, as is taught in the next verse, "For all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and therefore is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped into every good work." God's Word is able to make us wise unto salvation. The psalmist in Psalms 119 and verse 5 says that God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God's Word shines to direct us. God's Word illuminates the path that God has laid down for mankind concerning salvation, concerning worship, concerning how we can have hope beyond this life of an eternal life in heaven with Him. But we need to understand that God's Word is able to meet all of man's needs pertaining to life and godliness. Why do people have problems in life? I contend that it's because they're not centered in Jesus Christ, and because they do not consult the book. Oh, they'll consult everyone else. They'll ask their friends, they'll ask their family. They may even ask professional help, a psychologist from time to time, or those who have multiple degrees behind their name. But they fail to do one thing, and that is to consult the book, the Bible. Why? Because the Bible is God's message to us. The Bible is indeed inspired by God, and we understand concerning God's message is that it does give us everything that we need to know. Everything that will help us in life is in here. As a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a worker in society, and more specifically, as a servant in the kingdom of God. We need to be people who consult the book, but also to make certain that we preach and teach these things to all people. People, we need to understand the need to preach and teach the Word of God. Why? Because it will be the standard used in the day of judgment. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16 says that in the day in which God will judge the secrets of man according to my gospel. Paul's saying that, and it's not his gospel, it's not his words, but rather the gospel that he proclaimed. John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "These are my words, and they shall judge you in the last day," and that's paraphrased. The words of Christ, the way of Christ, and the will of God will be the standard used in the day of judgment. And if mankind has not obeyed it, man will be lost. As I stand before you today, I tell you that brings me great sadness to know that people will be lost because of the fact that they have not heard, because they have not obeyed the gospel. And if it brings God's people grief, can you imagine how sad our God is? To know that in that day many people will stand before Him, in fact the Bible says a majority, having never named the name of Christ, having never submitted themselves to be baptized, having never given their life over to walk in newness of life. It doesn't have to be that way. Why? Because now we have an opportunity an opportunity to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, an opportunity to surrender ourselves, to submit ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. This is indeed the will of God, and this is the plan that God has laid out for you. The question is, are you willing? Are you desiring to obey it?